Take your Bibles this morning as we're studying the doctrine of godliness, and we're in Romans chapter 12, so I want you to be turning there as we study the doctrine of godliness. Today we're going to be talking about the pursuit of peace, and as we approach this table, we realize the Prince of Peace died for us so that you and I, who were estranged from God, enemies with Him, he could make peace possible for you and for me. I can live each day with the shalom, the peace that God intended when He made man in the garden. You realize that when God made man on that sixth day, the first thing man experienced with God was a day of shalom, peace, rest. And because of sin, we're restless and we don't experience that peace in relationships in life. And so Christ came to make us right with the Father and enable you and me to be right with those around us made in God's image. And so as we pursue peace, it's the way we flesh out the faith. Because we realize the Prince of Peace who reigns and rules in our heart came to make it possible for us. This is in Romans chapter 12, and Paul's going to speak about peace. And we need that because, let's be honest, there's been a time in your life where you just wanted to give somebody a piece of your mind. Amen? You been there, done that? Listen, some of you, your teacher, you get a call from the teacher, and they say something about your child, your wonderful son or daughter, and they've been placed in in-school detention or something like that, and you say, not my kid, I'm going to go down there and give them a piece of my mind. Or a salesman who sold you something that they said, well, it's barely used piece of equipment, and you get home and discover it barely lasts one day after using it, right? Or maybe a boss, listen, just 2 weeks ago they praised you, gave you a wonderful glowing evaluation, and this week gave you a pink slip. And you feel like you want to tell them, let me tell you what I think about what happened. We all have that urge to retaliate in some way when we experience injustice. Someone did us wrong. Someone spoke ill about us. It's happened this week for some of you. And I'm telling you, you raise kids, it happens every day in the household. We realize that we don't experience the peace that God intended for us to experience. And oftentimes it's because we're not in right relationship with the Father and being what we ought to be as the people of God. Some of y'all got upset this morning. You're driving to church, someone cut you off or ran a red light. And so you just, man, you laid on it. You followed them for a little while. Wanted to tell them what you thought. You see, there's people in here, listen, siblings, you know how to push your siblings' buttons. You do. And mom and dad get on you every now and then about doing that. But see, for the Christian, God's word is going to say, listen, we have a responsibility. If we claim to know the Prince of Peace, if we claim to have made peace with God, if we claim to be right with Him, then you and I should embody the pursuit of peace. And that's what these first verses tell us. So listen, this week, when you and I are provoked, when we're perturbed, when we're prodded by someone, they push our buttons, and someone needs to hear from us, choose peace. God's Spirit enables us, listen, not to give them a piece of our mind, but for you and I to have peace of mind and seek to make peace. Listen, if we really could open the Word of God and hear Him speak this morning, then I have to examine my heart. You have to examine my heart. This will be very healthy in our relationships one with another. Listen, spouses, parents and children, children and parents. Listen, brothers and sisters in Christ. God's Word speaks and says, listen, there is a propensity in your flesh, in my flesh, to want to retaliate, not just with words. Sometimes with the worst of evil actions, because we've been wronged. But if I listen to God's word today and I allow the Spirit of God to work in my heart, then I can apply principles that help me to have a mindset of a peacemaker, not a peace faker. You know what they are? Really good. We put on a smiley face. Oh, everything's good, sister. But on the inside, we're raging. Peacebreakers. Those who have an inclination, listen, not to make peace, but man, they have an inclination to push the buttons and break the peace. You know what I'm talking about. Be honest with God this morning. God's word is addressing us. He's addressing relationships. And that's what life is made up. Let's just be honest. Of relationships. God's made us in His image. Stop and think about this for a moment. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the three are one. They relate perfectly in love. You're made for relationships too. relationships with others made in God's image. God made you for that. And let's just be honest, sometimes relationships are just sticky things. They get messed up. But God's words are going to speak about my responsibility, your responsibility this morning, and the mindset that enables you and I to live at peace by pursuing it. I want you to stand with God's word before you this morning. The mirror that we're going to look into to hear God speak, Romans chapter 12. Hopefully you found your place there. We're going to focus on just these three verses, starting in verse 16. Now notice, I'm going to highlight something as we go through. You can't see it in the Greek, but four times this word is used as Paul is speaking about this. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. And may that be our prayer this morning, Father. Because your Son is our King, the one who reigns and rules in our heart. He is a Prince of Peace. And just as He has made peace for us with you, God, may we be those who are catalysts for peace, those who are instigators for peace, those who seek peace as much as is possible with us. God, we confess there's situations right now that we experience this week. If we're honest, Lord, we may not have made peace or sought peace. We ask for forgiveness. Particularly as we approach the table this morning, God, may it be as much as it depends on us that we are those who are doing what we can to pursue peace. Help us to develop this mindset that Paul speaks of today so that our lives reflect those who have surrendered to the Prince of Peace. And Lord, may we carry your banner, a banner of peace that you have made for us. We love you, Jesus, and ask these things in your powerful, precious name. And amen. And amen. You may be seated this morning as we read here in Romans chapter 12. Paul is seeking for you and I to pursue peace as believers. And there's a mindset. I hope you saw that. You can circle that word several times there. Mind twice in verse 16. Don't be wise or associate or have regard in verse 17. A lot of those words carry the same, they're from the same root word, phroneo, in the Greek. And it has the idea of a particular way of thinking and inclination of our mind, of our attitude, of what we're pursuing. And we need that mindset because what I think about directly affects how I act. What comes into your mind and my mind affects our behavior. My belief always affects our behavior. And sometimes we're just not thinking straight, particularly when we are angry, when we are suffered some injustice. Anger is irrational at the end of the day. It's not thinking straight. It's not thinking right. And I need God to change my mindset so that I pursue peace. I need that because my mind, according to Romans chapter 1, your mind and my mind once, listen, it was our minds, we were futile in our thoughts and foolish in our hearts. Our hearts were darkened. Our understanding was darkened. As a result of that, there was no peace. Paul would say over in Romans 1, verses 28 through 32, as a result of our darkened ways of understanding, a wrong kind of mindset, it resulted in strife. That's not peace. It resulted in evil-mindedness, whisperings, backbiting, disobedience to parents, unloving, unforgiving, all kinds of attitudes and actions that reflect hearts that aren't focused on peace. We're selfish, that unholy trinity, me, myself, and I, reigning and ruling in our minds. And because of that, we never pursued peace. And Paul says we need to have our minds renewed. In fact, look at chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present yourselves a living sacrifice. It's acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Notice this in verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed in the renewing of your mind. My mind, your mind, it needs to be transformed. It needs to be changed. A metamorphosis, that's the literal word, has to take place. Why? Because my mind isn't always on pursuing peace. I'm often one of giving people a piece of my mind. How about you? And so I need the Spirit of God to take the Word of God and work on my mindset so that I begin to think in different ways. What is that mindset? Well, as a believer, the first principle that we need to understand is there's the principle of harmony. You and I should be pursuing peace by desiring to find ways that we can think alike. Notice what it says here in verse 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Now, I underlined that in my Bible. I circled mine, and because I'm going to see that word over and over again. I drew a line up to verse 2 because I know I need to change my mind. But I need to pursue the same mind, have the same mind. Paul's not saying that we need to be have uniformity, but he is saying there needs to be unanimity, that we should be seeking unity at all costs. We need to find ways of agreement with one another rather than finding ways of disagreement with one another, how to be at odds with one another. Now, someone's going to say, well, let's have the same mind towards one another. I want everybody to have the same mind as me, my mind, right? Because you know what? I'm the oldest in the room. I must be the wisest. I've lived the longest. And someone says, no, I'm the young whippersnapper. I've got all the cutting edge ideas and I'm getting with the times, Gramps, and you need to have my mindset. Some will say, no, I've been the longest member of this church. I know what this church is about and what it should be about. And someone says, no, wait a second, I'm the most educated one. I've got the degrees. I know what's best. You need my mindset. And then there's someone who says, well, I'm the most caring, compassionate, and I really care about people's feelings. I'm sensitive to that. You need my mindset. Whose mindset? Well, Paul would answer that question for us over in the book of Philippians when he also speaks about unity and having patience with one another and endearing to one another and encouraging to one another. And the mindset we're supposed to have is the mind of Christ. That if we will pursue that mindset, if we will have in us the mind which was also in Christ Jesus, that mindset, a mindset for oneness, a mindset for unity, that we will be of one spirit. Is that even possible, Pastor Chris? Yeah, it is, when we get out of the way. When God's Spirit fills us, when we're walking in the flesh, we're walking by the Spirit. We're walking according to His Word. God has given us all the same Spirit, amen? Amen. He's given us all the same instructions in the Word of God to obey, to follow. And the Spirit, when we're yielded to Him and our flesh is out of the way and our self is out of the way, the Spirit helps take that Word and renew our mind. And yet I've got to have a mindset for harmony. I've got to seek to find areas of agreement rather than areas of disagreement. Sometimes in our relationships, you know what? We are so far focused on disagreements and the things where we're far apart that you can't see. There are a lot of ways where we might be close together. Sometimes even in counseling couples, you know, it's important to start, listen, where are you together on something? Work from that to find compromise and where you can agree, even when you might have differing opinions. So you can find some area of commonality. Work from your strengths as you address those areas of need. But you have to have a mindset for harmony. I mean, it would be terrible if the choir was up here and they weren't singing in harmony, wouldn't it? Who'd want to hear them? It'd be a cacophony of voices. I wouldn't want to hear it. But oh, when all those voices lend themselves together in harmony, it's beautiful. It enriches our soul and encourages us in our journey of faith. It's the same way. And listen, I know, listen, parenting multiples, pursuing and leading our kids and finding that harmony even in the home. It's something that we have to work at, but you better be inclined to it. It's a principle of harmony. How do we get there? Well, there's this second principle he mentions right here, a principle of humility, that you know what? We need to think a little bit lower. Notice what it says. Be of the same mind towards one another. Here it is again. Do not set your mind on high things, on things up here, elevated things, but instead associate with the humble, with the lowly. Now, there may be two ideas at play here. Paul might be speaking about, of course, pride, which definitely will not help us to have peace. Or he might be speaking about how we are not to be partial to particular people or groups. Associate with the humble, associate with the lowly. Which one is it? Well, how about both of them? Amen. There's plenty of truth here. God certainly does not want us to be snobbish, to be proud, to elevate ourselves. That certainly won't help things, will it? That certainly won't help bring peace. Pride is, listen, when we elevate ourselves, we have no room to listen to anyone else because we just assume everyone knows I know everything and they're just disagreeing with me, so they're the ones that are wrong. Paul says, whoa, 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 whoa. Don't associate. Don't set your mind up here on the high things like you've got it all figured out. Men, we're the worst at driving sometimes. We know where we're going. the amen went right there. We don't have time to listen because we're proud. In fact, sometimes spiritually, you know what? We're so proud, we have our convictions and we are so confident in them, so established on them that everyone that's around us doesn't have it together. And we can simply point a finger and point out, no, 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 there's your flaw, there's your flaw, there's your flaw, there's your flaw, there's your flaw. And you know what? That certainly won't help anyone come over to your side and agree with you at any time. And it's difficult because sometimes we're so convinced. But see, when we elevate ourselves, we become conceited. And we have an insight, you know what, I'm the enlightened one. And you just haven't thought this way. And we can project that and bring that across. And so maybe, you know what, someone else sees something that's a blind spot in our lives, something that we need to listen to. And so we should be able to listen so that we can give an honest hearing to someone and consider what they might have to say. Paul would say this over in Corinthians. He would say this in Thessalonians. He would say this in Timothy. James would repeat it as well. Just the danger of, listen, of elevating our thought and ourselves and not taking a little bit lower ground, a little bit lower stature. In fact, listen, it's not just our pride. Perhaps it is. There's a sense in which we don't associate with certain individuals because they're just not in our clique. They don't have it together. That we don't associate with them because they have a contrary way of thinking. You see, we live in a time where that's promoted, where we draw boundaries. And yet what's amazing, if we're partial or prideful, that will be disruptive to ever finding peace. And yet God calls us to that. He's teaching you, he's teaching me, and he's wanting to renew our minds, that we pursue this peace by being humble, realizing we don't always have all the answers, really being humble because we identify or associate with the humble, the lowly one. Who did Christ associate with when he came? He certainly wasn't proud. Oh, I'm God. I know all the answers. Well, you know what Paul tells us over in Philippians chapter 2? That although he existed in the form of God, he didn't hold on to that position, but he emptied himself and took on humanity. He took on the form of a servant, one of the lowliest positions there is, a bond servant at that. And because he took on that mind, that's the mind you and I are supposed to have that Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. That's the mind, the attitude of my heart that I should have, a humble heart, a heart that's pursuing harmony, a heart that pursues humility, a heart that pursues honesty with oneself. You see, that's the next one. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Don't be wise in your own eyes. My daddy used to tell me this. You know what? You're too wise for your britches. Yeah. And I need to hear that. And our Father in heaven says it too sometimes to us, right? You know what? You're too wise for your britches. You see, building on this theme of the danger of pride, building on this need to pursue harmony, Paul says, listen, be honest with yourselves. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Sometimes it's important to realize, you know what? We don't have it all together. We don't always have all the answers. It's healthy for us to be honest with ourselves and honest with God. Do you know if you go over to the book of Proverbs, time and again it'll say in Proverbs, an emphasis, listen, on being humble and honest with yourself. We all know the verse, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge God, and he will direct your paths. The next verse says this, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You see, I'm inclined when I'm proud, I'm inclined when I'm pursuing my way to not be honest with myself sometimes and listen to others' evaluations and their thoughts. And what happens? There's an absence of peace. Absence of peace in that relationship. You know, sometimes we're so wise that we can't see our faults. We can't see. We don't even want to look in the mirror. You've heard the verse or the proverb, listen, you're too close to the forest, you can't see the trees. Yeah, sometimes that happens. However, when we trust in the Lord and we lean on Him, we lean on His evaluation of us because He knows all things. He sees all things. He knows, listen, the motives of the heart. He knows what you and I are about and why we're about it. And He's able to help us to have a true understanding and honest estimation of what it is. Do you not realize this? This is what God's Word says. God desires truth in the innermost being. He wants you and I to be real, authentic, genuine. The students will tell you He wants us to keep it 100. If you don't understand that, just listen to some rap, okay? That's what He wants us to do. Be honest. Sometimes we're so proud, we're so up here that we can't be honest with ourselves. Because then we open up a door and we allow someone to actually give us some constructive criticism. This is not the mindset that lends itself to peace. These mindset, if I pursue harmony, if I pursue humility, if I pursue honesty, those ways of living, of being, then my mind is being transformed. Now, there's one principle that we need to avoid. That's the principle of hostility. Now, that's verse 17. Repay no one evil for evil. Don't retaliate. That's our inclination. Don't want to respond when you have been you've experienced injustice in some way. Don't be one who wants to retaliate. I'm going to get them back. Just as the way they did me. That's our flesh sometimes. Moms and dads, sometimes we need to remind our children, listen, they were done wrong. Well, we're going to get them back. And that won't do anything good. We repay no one evil for evil. Now, it's fascinating here. This isn't just between believers. As Paul's speaking to the church, this is everyone, believers and unbelievers. Listen, stop and think for a moment. For you and I to claim that we have a relationship with the Prince of Peace, who, listen, He didn't do us evil for evil, did He? No. That's why we come to this table. He did us good for our evil. Think about that for a moment. All the good that He's done for you and me, for all the evil that we did. I mean, He suffered, bled, and died on that cross and suffered the shame that we deserved. Winston sang about it. He took all that for you and for me. How can we claim Him as our King, as the Prince of Peace who reigns over us, and not seek peace with those outside? We can't do that. We are not to be hostile. We are not to return evil for evil. Instead, we are to see, we are to have regard, to look for, to consider, to pursue good things in the sight of all men. Now we do that because we have been recipients. We have been blessed. God has been gracious to us. And we realize what Jesus taught us. Listen, how do you overcome evil? With good. Listen, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, hey, someone slaps you on the face, what do? Turn the other cheek, right? Jesus, someone says to you unjustly, they say, listen, I want you to carry my pack a mile. A soldier could say that. A centurion, a Roman soldier could say that. Carry my gear for 1 mile. Carry it two. Why? Because you overcome evil with good. We've forgotten this principle. The Prince of Peace overcame evil with a very good thing for you and me, dying for us. And so we realize that that's our responsibility as we pursue peace with one another. Instead of wanting to do evil, to do something in retaliation, instead we allow God to handle the matter. This is sometimes difficult for us. That's what Paul's going to go on and say. Beloved, don't avenge yourselves. Give place, give room for wrath. Whose wrath is that? Not yours, not mine, God's wrath. You know why? Because His wrath will be righteous when it is given. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. And for in so doing, you heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but instead overcome evil with good. You see, the danger is when you take the prerogative into your own hands and you decide, you know what, I'm going to get this. I'm going to fix this. I'm going to take care of this. You and I most likely will not do it in a righteous way. And we do not allow God to handle the matter. And beloved, He will handle the matter. He will bring justice in time. Sometimes we are impatient to do that. That's why we look at the cross. We see what Peter said, the one who suffered and died for us. The one, as it's written over there in 1 Peter, the one who gave us the example by the way he lived. Listen, he didn't open his mouth in response. He could have. He was innocent. But because he was representing you and me, he couldn't speak. Because he was paying the penalty that we deserved. And so we looked at his example and we trust in his spirit to enable us to do this. Sometimes it's good to whisper a prayer. Lord, I want to tell them what I think. Please help me not to do that right now. Please help me to have control of my spirit. The wise man says that the wise one is the one who has control of his spirit. It's the fool who blows up and lets it all out there. What does that accomplish? It's like all the shrapnel just goes flying and there's so much collateral damage when that happens. Whereas we ought to be pursuing peace as much as it depends on you. Live peaceably with all men. You know, in a moment when we approach this Lord's table, we want to make sure that we realize, I want to eat in a manner worthy of the Lord, worthy of the Prince of Peace and what he did for me. If I'm harboring something in my heart, I need to confess that to the Lord before I partake today. If I'm holding something over someone's head, I need to repent of that and say, God, forgive me. I want to pursue peace. Maybe, listen, it's the case this week that you're the one that should go and bring the olive branch. You say, but they did wrong. You know what? You need to bring it because you're still carrying it. And you need to go. And here's the amazing thing. Blessed are the merciful. They shall receive mercy. Why wouldn't we want to do that? You know what would heal a lot of the brokenness in our and rebellion that's out there in our community? We've got to overcome evil with good. We're trying to do that in many ways that we do ministry. But in our own individual lives, this is the principles that God is giving us to live by, that we flesh this out. It's a call to listen, to seek unity. Unity, as we come to this table to realize, do you realize when we come to this table today, there is one body and one spirit and one hope that we all share of our calling. We're one body, Christ's body. There's one Lord who's over us. There's one faith that we've believed. There's one baptism that we've experienced. Not that baptism. It's the baptism of Christ's death. We were baptized into his death. He died for us. We're all identified with him. We're one body that was raised. There's one God over us all, one Father that's given us new life. So to eat in a manner worthy of the Lord, we're those who are pursuing peace. If any way we're not pursuing peace, then we need to say, God, forgive me this morning. Forgive me for holding something against someone. Forgive me for being unwilling to forgive them. Forgive me, Lord, where I've not extended goodness to them. And God, I've wanted to take the matter into my own hands. Could be a boss. It could be a worker. Could be someone who did you wrong in your family. Beloved, why carry that? Christ died so that we wouldn't have to do that. We can be free. Praise the Lord today. And we can eat freely today. We can eat in joy. We can do this because, you know what? We have found peace. Because the Prince of Peace, he was murdered by those who were hostile to him. And you know what? We're not surprised if the world is hostile towards us. You said they hate me, they're going to hate you. Don't be surprised by that. But don't be overcome by that evil. Overcome it with good. And this is what Christ expects of us as a follower of Christ. And so in a moment, we're going to bow our heads. I'm going to ask the deacons to come forward as we approach the table today. In fact, I'll just invite you to bow your head right now because we want to search our hearts. We want to ask the Lord to search each and every crevice of our heart. If there's any way that we have broken peace with someone, we're not living at peace with someone, we want to ask God to forgive us because we want to eat in a manner that's worthy of him. If we've offended someone, we ask for forgiveness and help us, Lord, to make that right with them, to no longer carry that through life. Our heads are bowed. The altar's open also. We always extend an opportunity at the altar. Maybe there's something we need to acknowledge before the Lord and just lay before him and say, God, I'm done with this. Please help me to live at peace with you, because Jesus, you shed your blood so that I could be at peace with the Father, the Creator, the one who made me. Remake us, Lord, and help us to renew our minds.